Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition. Fancy Brian in the Shaw, Evan right here with me in the world headquarters, Madison, Wisconsin. And I'm going to have a fine guest joining me in the 4 o'clock hour. She is Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, Maggie Dawn. Maggie Dawn, a good friend and strongly opinionated on the topic of the prospect of Roe v. Wade being overturned. And we left the airwaves yesterday. Dom, of course, will be along at 5 for the happy hour. Today, as always, most days, occasional Friday, you know, gallivants. But Maggie Dawn, and Maggie did a show for me for this fine network and is an award-winning broadcaster in her own right. Very smart woman, an economist, a lawyer. I mean, she is like a five-tool player. And Maggie is fired up. She and I spoke last night until late into the evening. And she was quite fired up. And for a change, you know, my normal discourse with Maggie is she says stuff and then I pepper her with snark. And I was thinking last night, if I'd have used my normal tack on my friend Maggie Dawn, she'd have punched me in the throat. I mean, she was angry. And certainly with cause. As we were leaving the airwaves yesterday, I saw a little article pop up on my phone. Politico had a scoop. Someone, apparently, perhaps a Supreme Court clerk, had leaked this February initial ruling of the court, and all indications were it was being written by Alito, and it was going to completely overturn Roe v. Wade, and also Casey, all the prior precedent that had effectively created a constitutional right for a woman to have an abortion legally in the United States. Now, this is not a final opinion. I think you know that by now. You're smart people. But it foretells of a dark future in our nation. I mean, if this becomes the effective ruling of the court and the law of the land, immediately in the state I live in, Wisconsin, abortion will be banned, will be outlawed in almost all cases. And we're not the only state that's going to go through an immediate change of culture. And I watched the politicians, and we're going to bring you some of the sound. The politicians, of course, went immediately to the Twitterverse. And here in the state of Wisconsin, those that would seek to be the governor, let's just say, Republicans, I only saw 3 of them, at least quoted in the tweets in the local paper. One was Kevin Nicholson. Kevin Nicholson is the sugar baby of a sugar daddy, Dick Uihlein. And Nicholson effectively said, let's pray it's true. Let's pray this overturning of Roe v. Wade is true. And Rebecca Clayfish took a very similar tack. Rebecca Clayfish, a Republican gubernatorial candidate, and the former gubernator of the state of Wisconsin, Wanker, was out there talking trash, effectively. That was my initial take was, you know, we won the war in the courts. Now we have to win the war of public opinion because it's a pro-life nation. And immediately, as I admitted readily, as I was talking with my pal Maggie Dawn, I was Googling. You know, I'm Googling different aspects of this. And I'm trying to answer these questions for myself in real time. Well, what do we do about it? Do we codify a legislative piece effectively in and establish Roe v. Wade as the law? Can we do that? You know, well, can't overturn the legislature in the same sort of way, can you? If it is the legislative will, well, then it becomes the law of the land, right? So let's do the math for just a minute. Well, I'm looking back. I didn't have to look beyond a month ago. And our pal Joe Manchin, that centrist Democrat, Joe Manchin was effectively blocking an effort a month ago to codify Roe v. Wade. And it would have taken 60 votes. But Manchin wasn't on board then. And I don't think he's going to be on board now. So even I saw Bernie Sanders, my boy Bernie, last night said, let's throw out the filibuster. You know, let's be done with the charade. I mean, if we're going to see all norms break down anyways, let's use what's at our disposal. Let's certainly dispose of the filibuster and let's codify Roe v. Wade. But that only works if you got 50 Dems that play ball. And I'm not clear that Joe Manchin will. So, first and foremost, I'd like to place blame where it should be blamed with Susan Collins, Senator. The one that, well, let's just play a little sound of her on CNN last night. Wonder if there's any lessons learned here between the Trump impeachments and the support of Kavanaugh. Let's see. Cut 10, please.
I do not believe that Brett Kavanaugh will overturn.
His precedent's overturned.
He noted that Roe had been reaffirmed 19 years later by Planned Parenthood versus Casey, and that it was precedent on precedent. He said it should be extremely rare that it be overturned, and it should be an example.
So you have obviously full confidence.
I do.
Well, wow. Was she ever wrong? And of course, the blame goes with Alito and the conservatives amongst the court that have joined him. And we can observe something by the opinion. Now, the Chief Justice, John Roberts, was not assigned this opinion. If Roberts was with the majority, the Chief Justice would write this opinion. So that means that the Chief is not amongst those conservatives that have signed on to this probable decision coming down from the court. Well, I would wonder if John Roberts is on the outside trying to, let's say, change some votes, lobby some votes. One vote did not overturn what I think women in this country thought was decided law. Didn't we all? Well, I know there's like 30% of Americans that would like to see Roe overturned, but 70% of Americans really don't want that to happen. That was the polling I found. 70% of Americans want legal, accessible abortion. Now, whether or not you believe that because of your Christianity or any other religious belief, I totally respect that. You don't have to be all down for it. You don't have to embrace abortion to understand that someone else has the right to make that decision for themselves. You know, like the woman. Let's play a little bit more of the Susan Collins. There'll be plenty of sound today, and I'd love to hear from you. Today is about your reactions. I'm not going to take a lot of time talking about this, but I'd love to hear your reactions, 844-967-2789. And I was a lot less snarky with my pal Maggie than I am under damn near any circumstance. But I might have some snark today. We'll see. We'll see. More Susan Collins, cut 11, fancy.
We talked about whether he considered Roe to be settled law. He said that he agreed with what Justice Roberts said at his nomination hearing, in which he said that it was settled law.
So, of course, Susan Collins was obviously wrong about this. Wonder what Alito said way back when, you know, he was confirmed. I believe this is historic sound. Arlen Specter also might be part of this soundbite. Cut number 20, please.
Let me come now to the statement you made in 1985 that the Constitution does not provide a basis for a woman's right to an abortion. Do you agree with that statement today, Judge Alito?
Well, that was a correct statement of what I thought in 1985 from my vantage point in 1985, and that was as a line attorney in the Department of Justice in the Reagan administration. Today, if the issue were to come before me, if I am fortunate enough to be confirmed and the issue were to come before me, the first question would be the question that we've been discussing, and that's the issue of stare decisis. And if the analysis were to get beyond that point, then I would have to, I would approach the question with an open mind, and I would listen
so
to the arguments.
So you would approach it with
made.
An open mind, notwithstanding your 1985 statement?
Absolutely, Senator.
Yeah, less open mind. More from Alito at his confirmation hearings. Cut 21, Fancy.
Do you agree if a statute that restricts
Diane
access to abortion, that it must protect the health of the mother in order for it to be constitutional?
Well, I think that the case law is very clear that protecting the life and the health of a mother is a compelling interest throughout pregnancy. I think that's very clear in the case law.
And the case law that will be overturned by all indications, and the decision that was authored by the man who you just heard, Alito. Alito wrote this decision. And my initial understanding, and I'm not an attorney, that's why I got a fine attorney coming on in the next hour, Maggie Dawn. I'm not an attorney, but the legal reaction to this that I saw immediately is this is not perhaps the decision that they thought they were going to get. You know, those that thought, well, maybe they're going to kill Roe with 1,000 cuts. That's not exactly what this was. This was not exactly send it back to the states and states get to decide, although that might be the eventuality. But this basically was a decision by Alito and apparently supported by, you know, four of the other conservatives, that a woman doesn't have the right to an abortion. And the Constitution does not provide for the right to an abortion. And if I extrapolate a little farther, well, you don't have the right to a same-sex marriage. Hell, you don't even have the right to an interracial marriage. Because according to the originalist text of the Constitution, those things are not defined. So to take Alito's logic just a little further is going to be to take a few more human rights back. This nation took a big step backwards, or at least it looks like it might, unless we, that means you folks, do something about it. Come back, more Devil's Advocates. Phone lines open, 844-967-2789. For a destination.
The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Tuesday edition. I think the entire tone of the midterms have changed. It has done a 180. Yesterday, what were they predicting? A red wave. Well, that red wave just crashed into Roe v. Wade. And I think the entire outcome of this elective cycle, if this is not galvanizing for women and the human beings that love women and think that they should have the human right to control their own body, I mean, this is a real minority of the American people that wanted to see this outcome. And I hope, I pray that there is an electoral price to pay. But that's up to you, folks. Only you can prevent the malfeasance of Republicans. And only probably with an electoral majority that, you know, would stand up at least to a 50 vote, you know, minus Joe Manchin, can you even hope to codify what is contained in Roe v. Wade before it apparently will be overturned? Now, of course, this decision has not dropped. And, you know, the speculation becomes, well, who leaked it? And I've seen it go both ways. I mean, I've seen speculation. Perhaps this was a clerk on the right trying to make sure that people knew that they were doing the right thing and make sure that no one got, you know, weak-kneed. Because, you know, if John Roberts is out there lobbying one of the other justices, hey, you can't come to this conclusion. It's bad law. It blows up a lot of different things. A lot of different personal liberties have been decided using this principle. So if you blow this up, you're blowing up same-sex marriage. You're blowing up a lot of other principles by the same legal logic. So Roberts could be out there, you know, lobbying pretty damn hard. So some clerk on the right, let's say Alito's clerk, wanted this out there in the press, wanted Politico to have this, wanted the people to know we're going to deliver in a very Federalist way, in direct contrast to what we said at our confirmation ceremonies, you know, in our hearings before. Or, of course, the other logical theory here is this came from the left. And this is the opinion that my pal Maggie Dawn espoused, because this has basically never happened before. To find out that there is a partial ruling and it's going to overturn, you know, one of the most important precedents in the court's history. And the fact that this is leaked out into the press and several other, I mean, it's not like Politico reported it. Everybody reported it after Politico reported it. The internet was on fire last night. So are our phone lines at 844-967-2789. Still looks a little like a sausage party up in here, but let's go to the phones. Bill from Oconomowoc, welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
Mike, you touched on it a few minutes ago. Don't you think it's happening? You give the Republicans enough rope and they'll just hang themselves.
Well, let's hope that that's... Let's hope they're not just hanging Mike Pence. Let's hope that they're hanging themselves electorally, because, you know, be careful what you wish for, right? Be careful what you wish for. You've been raising money on this issue for half a century. And of course, you fired up the base each and every election. So many single issue voters. And I get, Bill, I certainly understand people that have a moral objection in their own hearts and minds don't want to hear about abortion. But at the end of the day, so what? That opinion, no matter how moral or heartfelt, it ends with your body. So anyways, Bill, I'm sorry, man, you go.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can. You're up.
Okay. There was, and maybe you can help me out. Somebody, I thought it was Ted Cruz, some representative of the far right made some statement, and another guy fired back at him and said, and it was just recently, who are you working for, us or them? Because they're coming out with this gibberish that some of it is so convoluted.
I'm sorry, Bill, I hate to admit, but your phone line's coming off a little bit gibberish and convoluted. So the right's reaction, of course, is outrage about the leak. Who leaked this? There should be an investigation. And the Chief Justice has already said there will be an investigation, and no doubt there should be an investigation, but ultimately maybe it was some lefty clerk, and nobody does this without the permission of the boss. So there was a Supreme Court justice that made the decision probably to have this leaked to the press. And that's certainly a crazy, unprecedented thing, but maybe it's a heads up. You know, because if this is a 5-4 decision, that seems to be the indication. And Roberts has the power to cajole. And, you know, sometimes these majority decisions, they come apart. They do not hold all the way to the final reading, to the final dropping of the decision. So there's still a chance that this does not become reality. But I greatly fear it is. It's reality. And it is a game changer. It is an electoral changer. It's a midterm changer. And if you are a woman right now, it probably feels like a life changer. 844-967-2789. Fred, go to Sneaky in before the break. What do you got?
Hey, yeah, just quickly. Where's all these Republicans that want free speech and your rights? I mean, your freedom.
Well, they want freedom, except when it comes to women's bodies. They want the ability to control women's reproductive health because their Bible tells them so, ?
Well, they're also trying to control the minorities and everything else with voting rights and all kinds of stuff. But what happened to freedom? I thought they were all about freedom.
Well, that's freedom for them.
The insurrection was about freedom, wasn't it?
Well, they want freedom for them.
Yeah, well, exactly, yeah. But I think this is going to get an uprising with the younger voters, and it's going to get them out there.
Well, you know, from your lips to God's ears, Fred, I sure do hope that people are listening. And I don't mean specifically to this show. You know, of course, you're listening. You've got excellent taste. But I'm talking about this issue. If this is not an issue that wakes up the electorate, if they have not awoken a sleeping giant that is women, it's like 51% of the people somewhere in his decision. Not Scalia, Alito. He's talking about, oh, women are disenfranchised. They have the right to vote. Yes, you do. More devils.
Suburban women, will you please like me?
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Something of a blockbuster of a Tuesday edition. Last night, a blockbuster of a press release. Well, it wasn't a press release. It was a leak from the U.S. Supreme Court. And the right, of course, very outraged at the leak. But not the consequence of what the leak foretells, which is the fact that Roe v. Wade apparently will be overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court. And the way that the majority decision is being written, it also puts in jeopardy things like same-sex marriage and personal freedoms. Let's hear from the President of the United States, Joe Biden. He spoke today on this very topic. Play it for the people. Fancy Brian, cut number 70, please.
That concerns me a great deal that we're going to, after 50 years, decide a woman does not have a right to choose.
And Biden does address the rationale of this apparent draft decision, cut 71.
But even more, equally as profound, is the rationale used. Right. And right. It would mean that every other decision relating to the notion of privacy is thrown into question.
More from President Joe Biden today, apparently on the tarmac. Cut 72, please.
If the rationale of the decision as released were to be sustained, a whole range of rights are in question. A whole range of rights.
Yeah, that's what I was alluding to. Even like things like interracial marriage could be thrown out because that would not be an originalist protected right instituted by the Constitution. And according to Alito, you can't read in there, you know, this is the 14th Amendment that would extend these protections. And therefore, it's gone. Or at least that is what the draft decision apparently says. More from the president. This would be a fundamental shift. Cut 73, please.
And the idea we're letting the states make those decisions, localities make those decisions, would be a fundamental shift in what we've done.
Well, and it would mean that abortion immediately, effectively illegal in the state of Wisconsin, in almost all cases. More from Joe Biden. He thinks Roe was correctly decided. 74.
The decision on Roe was correct because there's a right to privacy. There can be limitations on it, but it cannot be denied.
More from President Joe Biden. He believes this one, this draft decision, would go way overboard. Cut 75.
The idea that we're going to make a judgment that is going to say that no one can make the judgment to choose to abort a child based on a decision by the Supreme Court, I think goes way overboard.
Yeah, I agree with the president in this case. Let's hear from his spokesperson, Jen Psaki. I don't believe she's on the tarmac. Cut 77, please.
The people who would be impacted the most are lower income, are people who would have to take off work, are people who have to find a way to travel, people who would have to find a way to get childcare.
Yeah, because abortion would effectively become illegal in like half the states. Cut 78.
If Roe fails, abortion would probably be illegal in about half the states, up to 26 states, particularly in the South, Midwest, and West.
She does address the filibuster. Cut 79, let's not forget the Democrats could effectively codify Roe, but you need the courage to throw out the filibuster, and you'd need at least 50 votes plus the VP. Saki State, cut 79.
There has been a vote on this. It failed. It did not have even 50 votes, which means even if the filibuster
didn't
were
have Joe Manchin,
there would have not have been enough votes to get this passed.
We'll set aside the other quote from Jen Psaki for now. Now, on the other side of the aisle, they're talking about the lawless act, you know, the leak. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, fancy brand, going to need your help here. Cut number 60, please.
Whoever committed this lawless act knew exactly what it could bring about.
What, violence? Something like January 6th? What are you afraid of, Mitch? There's not going to be any violence per se. The only violence I ever see around this issue is usually targeting abortion clinics. More from Mitch McConnell, cut 61.
The radical left immediately rallied around the toxic stunt. The cheerleaders for partisan court packing applauded what they suggested was the work of, quote, a brave clerk.
Yeah, well, if that brave clerk happens to be a righty, Mitch, you don't care, right? Because it plays better if it's the radical left supporting a lawless act. Or maybe they're just outraged at the prospect of losing this constitutionally protected right, or at least it was for the last 50 years. More from Mitch McConnell, the disingenuous, to my opinion, minority leader of the Senate, Republican Mitch McConnell, Kentucky 62.
Everybody knows what kind of climate the far left is trying to fuel.
Yeah, one that's going to kick your ass in the midterms. You think you're going to be the majority leader today? One more from McConnell, and then I'll point out, we get an early indication of just how that's going to look. Let's not forget, it is primary election day in the great state of Ohio. People in Ohio get to react in real time. We'll talk about that. More from the Kentucky Senator, Mitch McConnell. Cocaine Mitch, I think they call him there. Cut 63.
Concentrate on what the news is today. Not a leaked draft, but the fact that the draft was leaked.
Yeah, don't look at the outcome of what that means for your rights, people. Look at my outrage at the leaking of our malfeasant plan. Because, you know, they've been working towards this since effectively Roe was instilled by the court. I guess that's not the right word, but, you know, doesn't matter anymore, does it? I'll never have to get it straight. Who else do we have? Let's come a little closer. We do have, well, first and foremost, Elizabeth Warren, Senator Elizabeth Warren. Here is the sentiment I hear her expressing. It's anger. And every woman I've talked to so far, it has created anger and angst and outrage. But let's hear it from Senator Elizabeth Warren. Yes, Fancy.
I just want to give a caveat. There is a counter-protester who is yelling about abortion towards the end of this. So if you are triggered by those things, I do want to let you know there is a protester yelling at Warren. There's nothing that I have to censor out. Just listen to Warren. But if you are triggered by things like that, just want to let you know.
I'm usually not triggered, but we'll see. Play it for the people.
Senator, how are you feeling?
I am angry.
Angry and upset?
Angry and upset and determined. Mm-hmm. The United States Congress can keep Roe versus Wade the law of the land. They just need to do it.
I've never seen you so angry. You seem to be...
This is what the Republicans have been working toward this day for decades. They have been out there plotting, carefully cultivating these Supreme Court justices so they could have a majority on the bench who would accomplish something that the majority of Americans do not want. 69% of people across this country, red states and blue states, old people and young people, want Roe versus Wade to maintain as the law of the land. We need to do that. And we have a right. Extremists, we've heard enough from the extremists. And we're tired of it. Thank you.
Yeah, we have heard enough from the extremists. We've got sound from Sarah Godlewski. She is the Wisconsin state treasurer. This appears like she was at the SCOTUS. So sound of Sarah Godlewski from the SCOTUS. Play cut number 35 for the audience, please.
And at the Supreme Court, we just heard the news of this potential overturning of Roe v. Wade. And what, in essence, the court has done is said that it is now up to our elected officials to determine if we should codify this into law. I am frustrated that we have had 50 years to do this, and Democrats have had the White House, the Senate, and the House to be able to do this. Here we are. And look, Ron Johnson isn't going to codify this. He doesn't think that your reproductive choice matters. And we've got to change that this November. Time is up, and we can't stand for anything less. We are not going backwards.
We are not going backwards, according to U.S. senatorial candidate Sarah Godlewski, a recent guest in studio here in Madison. You can join this program. You can be a part. 844-967-2789. One issue is sort of overwhelming the news cycle, and you know what it is. It is this draft ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court that will overturn Roe v. Wade. It will overturn Casey. It will basically change women's rights, or it will strip a right that women thought they had. You know, I'm 51. It's been a part of women's lives for my entire lifetime. And here is how some of the locals reacted here in the great state of Wisconsin. I alluded to this. I sourced the channel3000.com. Wisconsin lawmakers quick to respond to report that Supreme Court may overturn Roe v. Wade. According to Politico, which first broke the news, a draft opinion authored by Justice Samuel Alito in February concluded Roe should be overturned and abortion legislation returned to the people's elected representatives. That also basically says there's no protection under the Constitution for what we all thought was codified is a right. Should Roe v. Wade be overturned, abortions would become illegal in Wisconsin. You know, keep that in mind as you hear a few of these lawmakers, as they're described, react. Lawmakers seized on the news with Republicans praising the idea and Democrats blasting it. He's not exactly a lawmaker, but Kevin Nicholson would sure like to be the governor of the state of Wisconsin. He said, "I pray this is true." That was his immediate reaction to the article at Politico. Republican gubernatorial hopeful Tim Michaels also praised the news on Twitter. His tweet, "Barbara and I have long worked for and prayed for this moment. We hope this news proves to be true. As governor, I will always work to protect the unborn while working to win hearts and minds." Rebecca Clayfish, she, I guess, could accurately be described as the gubernatorial frontrunner on the Republican side. Her response, "Breaking, SCOTUS will overturn Roe v. Wade. It's about time, exclamation point." So Big Light Becky is, you know, found the cultural issues to be very supportive of. She's very anti-abortion. Former gubernator Scott Walker, he's a preacher's kid, and he was Clayfish's former boss and the current head of the Young Nazis Foundation. What are they called? The Young Americas Foundation. He said, "If accurate, our prayers have been answered. This means we must move from a court of law to a court of public opinion as we make the case for the protection of innocent life. Today's young people are pro-life generation. This is a true social justice issue." A true social justice issue. And he tweets this out from the YAF account. That's the Young Nazis account. And it's him hashtagging himself, well, at Scott Walker, and then them quoting YAF President Governor Scott Walker, you know, meme style. And looks like it got 157 likes. So that's pretty impressive. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, the one that Sarah Godlewski alluded to. "The goal of this unprecedented breach," of course, he's outraged at the leak, "is to intimidate sitting Supreme Court justices. This is yet another example of how the radical left intends to fundamentally transform America." Well, technically, that would be the opinion of the Supreme Court that would fundamentally change America, or at least the way that, you know, it has been for the last 50 years. Sarah Godlewski, here is what she said on Twitter. Democrats have the House, the Senate, the White House, but they haven't codified Roe v. Wade. It's time to stop treating abortion rights as an afterthought. We need to end the filibuster and write reproductive freedom into federal law. This is the fight of our lives. I hate to talk about the horse race, but if there is one candidate that should be out front and center on this issue, I think it is Sarah Godlewski, U.S. senatorial candidate. You know, to change this, you got to pick up Rob Portman's seat in Ohio. And how about Ron Johnson's right here in Wisconsin? Come back, more Devils.
American women deserve better, and American women are here to fight back.
Why are men great? So they gotta be great.
The Devil's Advocates. Ooh. Rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world. 100%.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Phone lines, they're open for your takes. 844-967-2789. A little graph over at the Washington Post. Graph's a little hard to read on the radio, so I'm just going to concentrate on where you can hear my voice. Well, out in Eureka, California, well, you know, the leftist coast, well, they have laws that explicitly protect abortion. Same thing for our WCPT 820 AM listeners, Chicago, Illinois, have laws that explicitly protect abortion. Now, in Minnesota, KTNF land, 950 AM listeners might not be aware Minnesota has no abortion laws, not currently on the books. Tim Walz, the governor there, my understanding, said, you know, that will change. Here in the state of Wisconsin, we have unenforced pre-Roe ban on abortions. So effectively, the law reverts back to what the law was before Roe v. Wade, and it would make abortions effectively illegal in almost every case here in the state of Wisconsin. A little bit more on this topic. The Chief Justice has talked about, you know, the validity of this draft ruling and has directed an investigation into the leaked draft of the abortion opinion. A little bit of the reporting of the Washington Post. Chief Justice John Roberts Jr. said Tuesday the leaked draft opinion proposing to overturn Roe v. Wade is authentic but not final, and that he is opening an investigation into how it became public. Here's a quote. To the extent this betrayal of the confidences of the court was intended to undermine the integrity of our operations, it will not succeed. The work of the court will not be affected in any way. Well, the court has been undermined tremendously by this leak. I'd point that out. Roberts, you can say nice things in a press release, but it doesn't make it true. While Roberts' statement said the draft provided to Politico was genuine, it does not represent, here's the quote, it does not represent a decision by the court or the final position of any member on the issues in this case. I'm pretty sure that our pal Alito is pretty rock solid. Politico's report said five justices had decided to uphold the Mississippi law that would ban abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy and overturn the decision that established a constitutional right nearly 50 years ago. And Roberts' news release was another extraordinary deviation from the court's normal procedures, which generally entails paying no attention to outside influences. It was a sign that the Roe v. Wade is too important and the breach of the Supreme Court operations too monumental to ignore. It was not immediately clear whether the court intends to disclose publicly the results of its investigation. And Republican politicians in particular have called for an investigation into the leak, which some have seen as an attempt to put pressure on the justices who might be inclined to strike down Roe instead to modify their decisions. Now, Senator Charles Grassley, Republican from Iowa, if you're unaware, he's like 192, the Senate Judiciary Committee's top Republican, praised Roberts' announcement Tuesday, saying on Twitter, the Chief Justice is right to investigate the unprecedented SCOTUS leak, and the inquiry should be done quickly and thoroughly. This leak, Grassley wrote, was a monumental breach of trust within our judicial system, the independent judiciary, must remain free from political intimidation and outside influence. Is that what it is? Outside influence. Again, I'm not clear which side may have leaked this. This may indeed be an effort to pressure the court or pressure Roberts to pressure one of his colleagues in the court to turn this into a 5-4 ruling the other way, right? Because our understanding is Roberts is not with the majority decision. So the three quote-unquote liberals on the court and Ketanji Brown Jackson doesn't factor into this decision. This is still Stephen Breyer. So Breyer is with the other liberals, with Sotomayor and with Kagan. And right now they have Roberts on their side and everybody else, Coney Barrett, doing just what they wanted her to do. And Kavanaugh, just what he said he wouldn't do. And of course, Neil Gorsuch, that's the seat they stole from Barack Obama and from Merrick Garland. Never even got a confirmation hearing. And then there were, you know, the Clarence Thomases and the Alitos of the world. I guess they justifiably got their seats. But these last three are really a question mark. And the legitimacy of the court was already in question. And when they come to rulings, when they come to conclusions of this sort, it definitely undermines the independence of the judiciary, right? Because an independent court wouldn't overturn stare decisis. They wouldn't overturn 50 years of precedent. They wouldn't overturn the Casey case. So there's multiple cases predicated on the prior ruling, and this has already been upheld. So this one's got to sting. And again, the only way it's going to sting for the rightist on this minority court, because it's a court that was picked by the minority party. Republicans effectively, mathematically, are the minority of Americans. And certainly on this issue specifically, the majority of Americans don't want to see Roe v. Wade overturned. It's about 70% against this draft ruling. 70% opposed. So, you know, the question is, if 50% of America is women, and the vast majority of them, and, you know, check your polling, folks. Even Republicans believe Roe v. Wade is decided law. At least that's what they always believed. And it's only been this evangelical, white nationalist, you know, anti-abortion doctor sort of cultist fringe. And again, it's not that opposing abortion in and of itself, you know, morally, I can understand that stance. But it's not very American to tell another human being they've got to, you know, carry a baby to term. I mean, what if that baby is the result of rape or incest? Well, you know, Coney Barrett says, well, you give it up for adoption. Well, that solves everything. 844-967-2789. Going to try to sneak a few voices in. Julie from Minneapolis. Welcome, Julie. What do you got?
Hi. A couple of real quick comments. I'd like to remind everybody, we never got the Equal Rights Amendment. A poison pill was put in it. And so that is a big factor. But, you know, you mentioned Coney Barrett and adoption. That's one of the forces that's really, in my opinion, some of the broad of mainstream Christianity, not crazy Christianity. There is such a push. They are so desperate to adopt babies.
Julie, I'm so sorry. You've got a terrible phone line, but what I heard you talk about is in mainstream Christianity, there are lots of loving families that would gladly adopt babies, and I have no doubt. But, you know, there's lots of babies in this country that aren't put up or aren't lovingly adopted. And, you know, some children are older than babies. They grow up. They're not just the cute ones. Not for long. Come back. Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, my good friend. She might be a little outraged. Hour two is next.
And when you're a star, they'll let you do it. You can do anything.